Hey! Ah, jeez, watch out. Banana, banana. This is FUBU, NFL Australia. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy who's just tired all the time. Tell you what, having a two-week-old, it is brutal. Anyway, I'm here in Larryama Studios. Try my hardest not to fall asleep. On the other side of this here iPad, he's still drunk from Saturday. That's all right. He's our resident Geelong Cats fan. He's actually officially barred from Sydney, I think. It is sometimes singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He is your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Funny you say that, Jimmy, because the reason I'm cranking this through and did Eagle Australia about half an hour ago is because I'm going to Sydney tomorrow, and I don't know if I can possibly wear enough Geelong shit to make this trip worthwhile. And it's fucking great. And I move straight into from that hangover into a day worth of fucking crazy football scores. So this has been a great week for sports.
It really has. I mean, we had a butt punt, and that was like
Eagles are 3-0.
Not even the like weirdest safety of the weekend. Anyway, no. We're going to wrap up week three of the NFL for you. Set you up for week four. That's what we do here in NFL Australia. We are still flying through these shows at the moment, just because. We just don't have the time.
Buggered.
To do the
We're
old
just all the energy, mate. Let's
hour and
be
a
honest.
Half. Yeah. If we tried to do an hour and a half show now, it'd just be like the last 45 minutes of me just asleep. Anyway,
rapping.
Let's get into it. Episode 53 of NFL Australia. Let's go.
Hey. I'm the butthole of Trent Sheffield, and you're listening to NFL Australia. I got a fucking football in me. Jesus!
All right, guys. What a week it was.
Our production level has just got... We're doing sound effects now. Fucking hell. Next level.
I love it. Crazy week. Fun week. I think we've learned a couple of things. We've got only, what, 2-3-0 teams. We've only got 1-0-3 teams. So we've got a big creamy middle at the moment. I love a big creamy
Christ.
Middle. Let's go.
Right.
So tell me some random thoughts from week three.
All right, I'm going to do the random thoughts this week because you needed a nap before this episode, right? Injuries this week. I thought I'd start off with this one. Mate, your boy... Mackie Jones has gone down with what seems to be a quite severe high ankle strain.
He looked in a lot of pain. Like, and I've got a 3.5-year-old. And when he hurts himself, I just like, you know, you fucking break inside. You're like, oh, buddy, you're going to be right. And then seeing Mac Jones, who's tough as shit, just like going, fuck, and like losing it. I'm like, oh, God, I'm not going to go check on me little boy Mac. Anyway. 100%.
All right, Brady had no fucking wide receivers. Speaking of injuries, Jesus Christ. DeAndre Swift, nice start to the season. Now I'm going to miss fucking time. Bears, David Montgomery. Sterling Shepard, that happened only this afternoon. And fuck, if you saw the end of that game, no one near him, wandering at the end. Guys are lost, and he looked like he was fucking shot.
100%. He's just running. It's like someone pinged him with like a giant like slingshot or something right in
the middle. All right, on to the other stuff. Just some other random thoughts that I've got. Josh McDaniels is not a good coach, and the Raiders are gross. Sorry, is it a bit early to go that hard? I don't know. This is why I don't usually do this bit. All right, Colts, show some spunk, Jimmy. You were talking about a big creamy middle. Dan Campbell can talk all he wants, but he can't stop tripping over himself. Fuck, there's a reason I don't do this bit. All right, not paying Lamar is the most expensive decision of the year, not including sex pests.
Check his MVP odds, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Dougie P is the quarterback whisperer.
He is, but I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, how much whispering did he really need?
Yeah, we need to, I don't know, mate. Anyway, moving on, this section can't go for all day. The Pro Bowl is no more.
Oh, I was a little bit shattered. I hate the Pro Bowl anyway, but
it's
just
weird.
Like, I love complaining
weird
about
not
the Pro
to.
Bowl.
It's going to be weird not to have the Pro Bowl. They try and change it every fucking year. You know, I don't know, man. Back in the day, I had some interesting... I loved a bit of Pro Bowl. Anyway, butt punt. We'll talk about that no end, I'm sure. And Rihanna. Rihanna's going to be our Super Bowl entertainment.
The National Rumors. The National Fenty League.
There you go. Rumors lasted all about 2 hours that it was going to be Taylor Swift, and then it wasn't going to be Taylor Swift, and then is it going to be Taylor Swift? And then there was a photo of a tattooed hand holding up a football, and everyone went, oh, Rihanna's on. Okay, cool.
Love it. All right. Having seen Taylor, saw Tay-Tay at actually, weirdly enough, MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, it was gnarly. She was fucking incredible. It was weird because it was myself and my buddy Lakers fan Tim. If you're an NBA Australia listener, you have heard his ramblings. Nothing weirder or susser than like a couple of mid-30s blokes just hanging out at a Taylor Swift concert with all the tweens and their mums. Fucking hell, nothing sus. Anyway, let's do some scores from the week. We'll wrap up every single game real quick. Some pretty interesting ones this week, actually. Brown Steelers was not one of them. 29-17. Cleveland.
Segway. Fucking hell, was that Segway?
They just smoked them from the get-go. Well, it's not so much that they smoked them, because I think it was, 13-14 at halftime, but then they just sort of ran away with it, and especially in the fourth quarter, just literally ran over the top of them, right? Like, Chubb was massive. Bears beat the Texans, moving on to Sunday, 23-20. This was, what a fucking game-ending field goal. Heartbreak for the Texans. I would have loved to have seen them just finish up 0-1-2 if they had had the second tie.
Oh, Jazzy Fields just feels like the least convincing starting quarterback in the league right now, right? Just fuck, dude, something.
Eh.
Show some spice.
We just talked about Mitch Trubisky in the Steelers. Well, we didn't talk about him because he's that
fucking bad.
Yeah,
but he's not, he's not going to finish the season, right? We know that. He's
already got the Kenny Pickett chance happening, so yeah,
exactly,
I don't think he lasts another week
or two. He was not bought in as
But the Bears were my pick preseason to be the worst team in the NFL, and for the Texans to lose this one on the road was just like a real bit of a kick in the teeth of, oh, that's right, the Texans' defense is not very good. Oh, yeah. Not great. Anyway, but the Bears sneaked that one out, and there's just a couple of like weird big plays in that game, and it was like one of those strange ones. You go back and watch it all, you're like, oh, so that's how they did it. Sure. Mm. It was very weird. But again, if you need like any more like vague proof that the Bears just fucking flat out stink still, even though if they're beating the Texans, like it was just still Darnell Mooney and like Cole Kmet. Their receivers, like it was 40 yards, I think, for Kmet. Is that right? And Justin Fields completed ridiculous 8 throws. It's like, what are we doing? This is just...
Yeah.
Fucking brutal. Anyway, speaking of brutal, Titans Raiders. Oh, jeez. 24-22. Raiders made a bit of a comeback right at the end. The Titans didn't score after halftime, guys. It was a weird one. They set the tone early, came out smashed, and Derek Henry was crushing it. And the Raiders sort of tried to fight their way back into it, but David Carr, I don't know, man. He just looks wonky, doesn't he? Also, McDaniels might just fucking flat out suck, but...
But Titans. Like when you Adams, I mean, he's come out this week and he's just like, I'm angry and I'm frustrated about it. Never been 0-3 in his life, and he wanted to play with his mate, and now you're getting the full show.
This is
what
happens.
But the Titans, like, these are the two teams, and I think we'll find this for the entire rest of the year. I fucking struggle to pick them every week. Like, which team's going to show up?
Yeah, I mean, to hold the Titans to 24. And for the Raiders to hold them to 24 and to not win that game is a fucking outrage. So, just gross. That team sucks. The Titans might not be that much better, but, I mean, they were going for like a 2-point conversion at the end. They miss it and they lose the game. Anyway, Chiefs, Colts, what a fucking boil over. This was squirrely from the start. We said it last week. We said it was fucking squirrely. The Colts were 5.5-point underdogs at home against KC. This is the biggest trap game of all trap games that ever fucking trapped. And they won it. But this game also had just like weird fuck-ups. Like the Chiefs didn't have a kicker. They cut Matt Amendola like basically as soon as the game was done because he was so fucking bad. It was just a mess.
Mahomes and Bieniemy got like spicy on the sidelines.
It was like one of those moments where you go, oh yeah, this is why KC, like you can platoon and try to replace Tyreek Hill. But at the same time, in just... games like this, sometimes you just go, oh, fuck, man, it'd be really good to have a skilled position player who can just get real fucking open. Just once.
But doesn't this happen every year that, like, the Chiefs will do this and then we're like, oh, you know, they're not where they were last year, and then all of a sudden they go on a 10-0 run and you're like, oh, yeah, they are. They actually
like,
are.
Like the Chiefs should have won this game. Like they scored 3 points after halftime. Like they should have won it. But to be honest, they should be 3-0 this season. They could very easily be like 0-3, 1-2. And going into this season, like the odds for them sort of, you know, everyone's like, I don't know if the Chiefs are really good at this year. And the Chiefs sort of came out. They were looking pretty good week one. They smoke Arizona just to go, hey, nah, we're still good.
Still the class of the division.
Last week, scrap it out over the Chargers. This week, lose to the Colts. You're like, oh, this is the good one. But this is great because it just throws everybody off the scent, guys. So, yeah. Say that much. Now, that was a weird game. The other weird game, Dolphins also 5.5-point underdogs at home, beat the Bills. So you had two massive home dogs win outright against two of the favored teams in the AFC. 21-19. It was so fucking weird, this game. Just weird. Oh, it looked weird. Just, it was a weird color matchup. I love my color matchups, you know. But Josh Allen, it's like one of those sort of things where you go, look, we know he's good. He threw for 400 yards, a couple of touchdowns.
Dude, they...
When it's not going right, when it's not going right, it's always a bit fucking squirrely with that guy. I swear.
They doubled the yardage of the Dolphins close to in every fucking major category, right? It was not... Like, it wasn't fucking close.
Not only did they double the yardage, Gaz, they had 89 offensive plays.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And in terms of the plays as well, yeah.
39 for the Dolphins, right? Which is just absolute chaos. Like, they doubled them up. What are we doing here? That's incredible.
But you do see, like, they were playing with the fucking Northcote Park, Auskick, Little Leaguers as a fucking secondary. Like, every person was out of that, as was out of the Bills' fucking secondary. And did you see him at the end of the game? Like, that Dolphin Stadium, in the heat at the beginning of the season, they're just where they strategically put the away bench that happens to be, like, I don't know, feels about, looks like it's about 15 degrees, you know, hotter than fucking the home bench.
That's
like, you
smart.
Look at when... Mate, Josh Allen, the guys would like heaving in that last quarter. You just see him on the side, and you're like, "You guys are fucked." I touch on it later, but I'm like, "Oh, mate, there's a revenge game in the coming up." You just feel it's in the future.
I love it. So it was actually 90 offensive players to 39.
There you go. Yeah, that's
Miami,
fucking nuts.
They were the 15th team to ever have less than 40 players and win. And the teams that have done that, they're 15-77, which is 16% winning all time.
Wow.
That is absolutely crazy. Monster. So there you go. Like two, and obviously we had the butt punt in this game, which was just gnarly. And to be honest, I'm going to talk about this later, but it feels like it should happen way more, especially when you backed up that far. Great moments. You also had the OC for the Bills just losing it. He's going to come up again later, but just a game that had everything, you know? It was great.
Well, it really came down, and we haven't touched on it, but it came down to the Bills had a chance to win it, made the pass, and you're like, oh, this is the moment of truth where Josh Allen just shows his thing. And they couldn't get set. They couldn't spike the ball, right? They were close enough to at least have a shot, you know, that 3-point shot, and they just couldn't get set.
Couldn't get out of bounds in time after the pass, and
set to spike it, right?
And spiked. It's one of those ones you're just watching the clock like run. You're like, what? Hang on, wait. Oh fuck, they're gonna run out of time. Oh god.
Yeah, but I was less happy than I was when Dak Prescott did it last year in the playoffs.
Sure. Ah man. Anyway. What else do we have? We had Lions-Vikings. This was also... Like, talk about some... This is what I mentioned at the top, right? Like, some weird, fun games. 24-28. Vikings were what? They were down 24-14, I think, right? And ripped off, like, two
touchdowns.
They were
down 14-0, and then they came back and then went 24-14 or whatever it was.
So weird. Dalvin Cook has hurt his shoulder, so they were kind of, like, running a bit ragged at the end. He's day-to-day, though, I think, with that shoulder, right? So it's not like a massive thing, but...
Nah, but the problem is he's got... That's his problematic shoulder. I think it's the history that fucks that up a little bit.
But what was it, like 40 seconds left and then KJ Osborne hits... Oh, no. Yeah, 45 seconds left. KJ Osborne had that touchdown. Yeah. It was sick.
But my biggest problem was Dan Campbell came out and blames himself. They were 3 points up and had a crack at a 54-yarder. Which wouldn't have mattered anyway, because the touchdown I don't know if you know basic maths, Jimmy, but 7 points on a six-pointer. But, you know, an extra going for an extra first down instead, at least. Pin them back a little bit further with a punt, or go for it on fourth and tie the game away and you know, squeak out the clock rather than allowing Kirk fucking Cousins to come down. But, look, they've got all of these little pieces. You know, they've shown it against us. This is the Lions. Where that defense puts pressure, not afraid to blitz from anywhere. They've got the receivers. Amon-Ra apparently, well, not apparently, unfortunately went off, came back, so clearly not too injured, but he's become a superstar. Swift is a superstar. They need something new at quarterback. They've also got a pretty good white rookie first-round wide receiver who's sitting on IR waiting for his ACL to come back.
So they just come back, mate.
You know,
just grows back.
Depends, because you can get them transplanted from a corpse. So there's that. So maybe Eddie will come back.
Yeah,
but no, look, they've got some pieces there. Dan Campbell. That's what I mentioned in the observations. Like, he just fucking trips over himself, right?
That's why the heartbreak kid. He's excitable, but it was weird because you're just sitting there going, "Look, it doesn't matter if
how are you
going to
fuck
goal.
It, Dan? How are you going to fuck it?
It makes zero sense because if you hit it, you're still up six and whatever. But and if you miss it, you're giving them field position. This is just fucking dumb. Anyway, because there's 2.5 minutes left, I think, when they had the ball back, and then they're going for it on fourth down, and you're just like, all right. I mean, I'm okay with always sort of going for it, but then when you then flip the table and go, actually, no, this time we're going to kick a field goal and it cost you the game, you should get fucking roasted, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Ravens smoked the Patriots, 37-26. This wasn't even that close. I feel like it was shit. The Bengals.
Hang on. We got to touch on the fact that Lamar has more individual touchdowns than 90% of the league right now.
he's good.
He's playing out of his fucking skin, like you
another 100
would
running,
not believe.
Another 100 rushing yards today. Well, not today, but yeah, unbelievable. Mac wasn't bad, I thought, in this game, but we just don't have the horses to keep up. I was kind of happy to see Devontae Parker shake loose and look pretty good at times. But
Duvernay got, like, you can see why they got rid of Hollywood Brown. Like, Duvernay's finally kind of stepping up and doing his job.
The Pats needed to win that one at home. They're now 1-2. Home opener, essentially. It's like that one game where you're like, oof, if we had pulled that one off, you feel like you've got a bit of a, you know, a little bit of a base to work from out the rest of the season, but now you're sort of just punching from behind the rest of the time. And
dumb question, because I was going to say, because I don't know enough about particularly your Patriots. Who's your backup who's going to be coming in?
Brian, bring the pain, Hoyer.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Wow, there's a name. There's a blast from the past.
I love
Jesus.
It. Houston Texans legend, Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
Anyway, fuck. Bengals 27-12. They beat the Jets. This was the easiest bet I think I made this week. Just like 100%, they've got to win this one. They're 0-2. They're going up against Joe Flacco, who played out of his skin to pull a fucking win out of his ass against the Browns the week before. They get that one. Off they go. It felt like sort of everybody got a little bit more back on, you know, the same page. And this is like the classic get right game as well, right? Bengals Jets. We're like, cool, we'll get a little
beat
bit
up
of,
on a shit team.
We're just going to beat up on a shit team. It's basically Tyler Boyd drops a hunch. T. Higgins has 93. Lead. Jamar Chase had like a bunch of sort of targets, receptions, not for anything really that long. But, you know, at least they were sort of trying to get him going. And, yeah, they ran over the top of him, whatever. Eagles, 24-8. This is just a smashing.
Wow.
I mean, scored in the second quarter, right? I remember that.
So we did score early, and then we Hurts put three passing touchdowns in the second quarter. So it was 24-0 at halftime. 9 sacks across the game for the Eagles. Jalen Hurts put up 279 and 3 touchdowns passing in the first half. And then the foot was off the gas, honestly. Like, they didn't score until the third quarter. And this was, just reminding everyone, this is the Wentz revenge game. The funny thing is, the stadium was half green. The Commanders have given up. Honestly, it was quite sad, actually. But that poor, they're literally in the, and I've said this, I've just recorded the Eagle Australia podcast, so it's all fresh. But literally, they're in that stage of denial that I was, or that all Eagles fans were 2 years ago, where we were like, no, it's not Wentz holding the ball too long. It's definitely the O-line. We need to improve the O-line. He was making 7-step drops when he'd been sacked 5 times. Like, come on, dude.
It's the, you're a bit shit. I can change him corollary, right?
That's exactly it.
I can change him.
When Frankie Reich even realized, I'm going to take a fucking noodle-armed fucking 54-year-old Matt Ryan over. It's not about the skill set that what Wentz has. It's the bits that fucking kill you. Right, and there's always going to be those bits that fucking kill you. And he's 30 years old now. He's not going to change.
Weird.
But in the meantime,
Devonta Smith though was massive.
Smith 169. Had his AJ Brown had his first touchdown as an Eagle. 169 off 8 carries, two receptions over 40. Huge. One of them wouldn't have counted if Ron Rivera had been able to get his challenge flag out of his pocket quicker, but. But, mate, he was the fact that we've got two wide receivers over 250 yards in 3 games. Jalen Hurts over 200 yards on the ground. Yeah, I'm having a bit of fun.
All right. Yeah, that's why we've got Eagle Australia.
That's enough. That's enough, guys.
Fucking hell.
Wind it up.
Panthers, Saints. Panthers win this one 22-14. Bit of window dressing. That was like 22. No. They were smashing them, right? It was like nothing for most of this game, I feel like, in terms of the score. Because I remember watching and checking in. Yeah, it was like 13-0, and then boom, it was like 22-7. And it's like, oh, okay. This game is over. It was 13-0 at the half, and I think they went from there. The big thing for me was Olave went absolutely nuts, right? Like 9 receptions for 147 yards for the Rook. Love to see that, but...
This is another game. This is two more teams, and you know we're starting getting that sweet spot of the season where you just fucking hate everyone. And I just hate these teams because at the beginning of the season, the Saints, everyone was like, "Well, that defense last year was fucking shit hot," you know, and they showed it again against Brady, hobbled Brady, but you know. Jameis coming back. Kamara, who is not suspended for beating the shit out of anyone yet. But you've got Thomas coming back. Olave in there. Like, mate, they've got the receivers. They've got the offense. And they had that defense. And they've just pulled absolutely none of it together. Meanwhile, you're like, oh, with Baker, maybe the Panthers can do something. And for the first 2 weeks, they were fucking shit house. And then all of a sudden, against the Saints... It, I don't know. The wrong teams are showing up, Jimmy. Yeah. I just don't fucking get it.
I think the Panthers, though, had kept those games close, right? What was it? Cleveland and... fuck, who'd they play? Anyway. But their games were close to the degree where you're like, look, if they just don't have a couple of little fuck-ups, maybe they win one of those. And this was the game where they didn't fuck it up too badly. And
yeah.
I mean, Jameis... This is the thing with the Saints, right? I just can't trust Jameis as far as he can throw him, right? Like, just no. Like, I think he almost doubled up the amount of yards that Baker went for. And as much as you don't want to trust Baker, you trust him a little bit more than Jameis. And McCaffrey just makes a big difference. Jags, they beat the shit out of the Chargers 38-10. Unbelievable. But this is a banged up Chargers team. But my thing is, like, holy shit, Trevor Lawrence, I am here. Here for it. He threw one fucking dart to Zay Jones, I think, in the third quarter. That was just fucking remarkable. Like, it was so pinpoint. Like, I don't know, 28 yards out, just fucking nailed him between, like, 3 defenders. And you're like, right. That's the Trevor Lawrence I was promised. Yeah. I want to see more of this 100%. And this is in LA. But the thing is, like, this is so hard to judge this because the Chargers lose what?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
Bosa, which is Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's all pretend like we know.
We always get that fucking wrong.
Bosa's which fucking team? And
Terry, it's fucking Terry Bosa,
Jimmy Bosa. But you know, obviously, my boy Juzzy Herbs is all hobbled. They don't have Keenan Allen because he realized again that he has hamstrings on his body, and I think one of them's now hurt. The other one's now hurt as well because he just thought about it. But just like Juzzy Herbs, manfully battling it out, but at the same time, just. Yeah, nah, this sucks. Jags looking pretty good. Rams beat the Cards 20-12. Just smashed him. Like, this was over. Cards had what, one? No, did they score it? I don't think they scored a touchdown. Falcons outlasted the Seahawks in just a stupid game when no one scored in the fourth quarter. 27-23 in Seattle. My pick was Seattle for this one. And they basically, Geno threw it away at the end. So, I don't know. Is Geno writing a lot of notes back to people about, you know, he was taking notes, but I wasn't writing back? Is he now writing back to those folks? Because people were writing him off, Gaz. People were writing him off. He wasn't writing back, but...
It was...
Should we write him off again?
Do you reckon the statements...
It wasn't even one game. And, it was a half. Yeah. It was a half that he was good for. So
and trademarking a statement. Yeah. But apparently that Cordarrelle Patterson guy's all right.
Yeah, Cordarrelle can go all right. Cordarrelle.
He's fucking 141 yards.
He was so good.
On he's, what, 17.
Leading the NFL?
Rushes. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Fucking hell.
Brady.
Mariota's doing all right. He's, there's someone waiting in the wings, I think, to take his role, but... Yeah, who knows when Ritter's going to get in.
Kyle Pitts actually got some receptions. That was nice. It's like Atlanta Oh, yeah, we've got Kyle Pitts. That's kind of nice. The Battle of the Bays, Brady versus Rodgers, maybe for one last time in the regular season. 14-12, Packers win it. Hold on, because Tom Brady didn't have any receivers. And,
that's what I was
going to
say.
They couldn't convert that last fucking... two-point conversion to Russell Gage, because he's like, I can literally only throw it to Russell Gage, so guess where I'm going.
Yeah,
Russell fucking Gage.
Disappointing that's how it's going to go down, right? Like, yeah,
is it though? I mean, it's like Mike Evans was suspended for this game because of the punch on last week. Godwin will be back at some point. Julio is Julio. So
What I mean is it's disappointing if that's the last. You know.
Oh yeah, because it was shit. Oh,
these two fucking legends, and then all of a sudden it was a fizzer where these two superstars who've set so many fucking records, and it's 12-14.
Yeah.
Like, come on, boys.
Like, even Aaron Jones couldn't get going. It was just a fucking defensive sort of back and forth, scrappy, shitty game. If you wanted to, you'd sort of look at this schedule and go, oh, fuck, it must have been a close, good game. It's like, nah. Because it wasn't even 14-12 for most of the game. It was 14-3 for most of the game. Then it was 14-6, and then there was that last Gage touchdown, and then nothing else in between. But it's just a scrappy, weird, fucky game. And I'm just hoping that they all get healthy and we get this again in the playoffs. Speaking of shit games, Niners Broncos 11-10. Only the second time we've had an 11-10 game ever.
Felt like a playoff, though, if you ask Rusty.
Good on you, Rusty.
His press conferences are just getting fucking worse and worse.
Let's ride.
Jesus Christ, man. It's just Gaz so
Nation,
fucking weird.
Let's ride. Anyway, they suck. But look, this is the second straight week where he's been booed at home and they've won. So
Keep expecting it all to click, mate. Just keep expecting it when you've got guys like Judy and Sutton and
as somebody and who was pretty heavy on Russ for like a bit of, you know, under the radar MVP buzz because, new dude, new situation. Gets off to a shit start, though. Like, real shit start. This has been a real fucking shit start. The Broncos just can't score. Like, they've scored two touchdowns all year, right? No, one? Fuck. And it's just, it sucks. Like, it sucks watching them. And this game sucked because Jimmy G was like, oh, hang on a second. I am.
He was bad as well.
I am Jimmy G. He Orlovsky'd out of the end zone. Not as bad as Orlovsky. I want to get to that later. But anyway.
Oh, the best meme that I saw on that situation was... a San Francisco fan saying, my quarterback is putting his foot down for racism.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved it. Love it. Because they end racism in the back of the end zone.
But it was also one of those things where you realize that Jimmy G is just kind of, considering he didn't have the playbook all offseason, etc., you'd think he'd sort of know what's going on. But this was the weird sort of game where Debo couldn't shake loose for anything. Ayuk had like the one touchdown. But there was my favorite thing is like Niners fans talking themselves back into Jimmy G and then watching Jimmy G and going, oh, that's right. Fuck.
But the funny thing is, look, to be fair, I can't remember how long was on the clock when that last with the last fumble, but they did that. Like, Jimmy G does have those comeback wins where he has marched down the field and done
something out of his ass.
Exactly. And like they kind of started that and then there was just that fumble and then the
that
Broncos
was it.
Dive diet, and it was like, ah, there's the romance gone.
Anyway, last game was Cowboys Giants, a couple of your NFC East favorites.
Fuck
Cowboys
me.
Hold on for a 23-16 win, and a big this win for gross. Your mate Jimmy, with some nice little, you know, dollary doos there, because 23 plus 16 is 39. The over under was 39.5, you little beauty. But the weird one for this, like, Pollard was doing all the damage on the ground, but Zeke was the one who rumbled in for the touchdown. I think, what, they're at the one yard line after a big CeeDee Lamb catch. But Lamb had a touchdown as well later, which was fucking beautiful. Gave it the old toe tap.
Let's be honest, the one-handed circus catch that he owed them because he dropped a fucking massive one.
Yeah, they literally just bounced off his hands. Like, it was just
no
ridiculous.
One within 10 yards of him, straight off the hands.
So lucky he pulled that one off. But look, Cooper Rush didn't look too bad. It was like one of those things where you go, oh yeah, like, this should be like the very baseline of quarterback play.
Yeah.
And it boggles my mind that dudes like Mitch Trubisky can't even sort of just hit this level of capability.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, and to be honest, Daniel Jones too. Like, because we've talked about this before on the show. Daniel Jones will sort of show you something where you go, oh, yes, he is a professional NFL quarterback. And then he'll do some other shit where you're like, this guy fucking sucks. What are we doing? Oh, my God.
Yeah. There's like one, there's at least two or three brain scratches a game. You're just like, what the fuck?
But Saquon, well, got loose for a few nice runs there, got in for a touchdown as well. That was part of Jimmy's big bet, enjoyed that. And Cowboys just sort of eked it out down the stretch. It was a bit of a nail biter for me with that half point for the last 4.5 minutes where they just traded ineptitude. But then it finished with a Danny Dimes interception. So
there's a couple in there that, like, look, I just can't see with them. The way they split it, like, it was almost 50-50 with Pollard and Zeke, right? Splitting the runs. And they talk about them being a duo now, but Zeke's on a lot of fucking money to be part of a running back by committee. And the other one is with Sterling Shepard going down. What's his name?
Kenny Golladay.
Golladay, right? Who'd been completely out of favor. Is this the kind of the redemption song for the rest of the year?
Well, they've got to
redemption
get Tony.
Redemption song, right?
They've got to get Tony back as well, right?
Mate, but he's gonna be forever. He's going to forever be known as taking one-yard passes from the line of scrimmage and trying to make them six-yard passes.
I love it. So there you go. That's week two wrap. You got some yarns for us, guys. Let's fly through these because we're already
going. All right. Let's do it. All right. I'm writing some yarns this week. So you should have a license to coach football at the highest position, and Josh McDaniels has shown that he doesn't deserve one. Yarns.
Like an F1
Harsh,
license
just come
or something,
off.
Right?
Just coming, like, straight off the fucking... Just
it really, anyway. It does feel like that because you're just like, holy shit. So this is the exact way that, you know, McDaniels in Denver sort of went down as well. It's like, you know, the Wunderkind. Hello, I've come to coach a team. I've been down to Bill Belichick. And he rolls in there and was like, this guy fucking sucks. And like within 2 years, it's just like, nah, on your bike, pal. I mean, with the Raiders, it feels like he's got a shit ton more weapons than he did in Denver. And, you know, he's, what, 10 years older, 10 years wiser, should know his way around the team a bit better. They just look lost at times. They look like they've got zero fucking cohesion. I don't know, man. It just sort of stinks.
There was that thing where, you know, previously with in the reference to Denver, it was like, you know, there was his arrogance of coming from, oh, I'm the kid out of the Bill Belichick thing. And, you know, I'm gonna change the world and all that sort of stuff. Oh, he settled down, and that's where he did the interviews with other teams in the last couple of years. But, like, even look at Dan Campbell, right? No, I know this is the hard knocks fucking sensibility, but even though he seems inept, the cunts want to play for him, right? You feel like they would run through walls for it. So, I don't know anyone who looks like that about McDaniels.
So, flip side, the other McDaniel, right? So Mike, down there in Miami, like, he 100% looks like the world's biggest dork, right?
He's but they're all stoked. He's like one of them.
They love him.
Looks like the they ball boy, him. Right?
And whereas Josh McDaniels just sort of stinks. So I don't know, man. You've got another bonus extra.
Yeah, this is what I stole, but it like kind of ties into this, right? So this was actually stolen from Sports Trials that I fucking love. Bill Belichick didn't hire an offensive coordinator to start the season because he knew Josh McDaniels wouldn't last long. To be honest. Tied in, double-edged sword. Just fucking get it in there.
Yeah. The thing is, like, if you watch the Patriots, you know, for the last few years, none of this is a really giant surprise. The yeah. only surprise that I have is, like, I didn't think it could get that much worse, but turns out. Bill Belichick's like, oh, you don't think you can get worse, Jimmy? Hold my beer.
Yeah.
Here's Matt Patricia. Yeah, yeah. He's also taking your beer. Russ and your ribs. And all your feet. Anyway, let's keep
going. Rusty is so fast past... I can't read. At that time of night, I can't read. Is so far past the playoffs that he's forgotten them if he thinks that an 11-10 win had a playoff feel. Oh. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fair way past these last playoff appearance as well.
It's been a while,
but
mate.
That game did not feel like playoff football. It felt like two just teams just who didn't know how to play football football. Just ineptitude everywhere.
Yep. All right, Bills losing to Miami with no one in the secondary and being completely fucked from the heat means that the Bills are going to win by 30 when it goes back to Buffalo.
I don't think the Bills lose again this season. I think that might be the one thing. I think that's like... But there is that weird sort of setup with the Bills, right, where, as we talked about, if you stymie them a little bit, it just doesn't seem like they have that next gear to go to, just absolutely, like, they're real front-runner kind of vibes, right? It's like, if they're up, I don't know, 10, 14, like, they're going to be up 20.
They're going to jump you. 20,
hassles. Yeah. You saw that against Tennessee, right? Like, Tennessee sort of gave them a bit of punch in the mouth. Bills went, right, cool. They got two pretty good, cheap, quick scores, and it was over from there. But pretty the Bills sort of just had, like no answers for Miami, right? They just...
No.
It was weird. So, I don't know. That's it, though. There are a couple of holes on that team defensively, and without them being able to sort of run the ball sort of real steadily, it's kind of like, all right, Josh Allen, do everything. And he's like, fucking hell, man, all by myself? Yeah. Jeez. And it's like... Every time, that's how they lose. So there's like a little bit of a blueprint there, just saying.
Yeah, they haven't had that. They've always struggled with the running game. Like Zach Moss and Singletary have never kind of got there. But they've... But the whole point was that they drafted Cook, who was supposed to be at the end of the season, was like, this guy's going to be a receptionist? Going to be a receptionist? Can I direct your call? Going to be a lead receiver out of the backfield, but also take on the Lions' cares of the carries, and that's going to give him someone on the ground. This last game, they finally got him some touches, so we'll see how that goes. Anyway.
Captain James Cook.
Captain James Cook. Being 2-1 but losing to Cooper Rush is a sign of the end for Danny Dimes in NYG. Nah,
they're fine. They'll just give Brian Daboll the year to sort of whip him into shape, and if not...
Dude, they didn't renew his fifth year.
Yeah.
They're going to give him an extension?
They're going to give Daboll, like, you know, enough rope to go, right, is Danny Dimes good enough? And Daboll's going to be like, all right, it's week 13. If Danny's not showing me something now... on his ass, and he can, you know, go work for the New York City Fire Department because I've got an inexhaustible supply of their hats.
Yeah, that is true. This is an aside, nothing to do with the YNRs. But what's with the fire department? Like, Vrabel's, like, busting a whole bunch of... Sorry, bro. You, like...
Just
Tennessee's
fireys.
Not in New York State or just New York City's not. Yeah, what the fuck is going on?
Love fireys.
All right, cool. You know, shout out, thanks for your service to Flyers. With wins, this is a long bow, right? This is why I shouldn't be in charge of this section either. With wins over New Orleans and KC, Rule and Reich have bought themselves their jobs while proving it's possible to win with this shitty team. I can't even read my own thing. Basically, that McCarthy, because he's won a couple of games, if he doesn't make the playoffs with Dak for the rest of the season, he's got the ass.
Yeah, I mean, Dak will come back, and then if McCarthy doesn't make the playoffs, he's gone anyway. But I think it's literally, if they don't make the playoffs regardless, McCarthy's gone and Peyton's in.
Yeah.
So,
I think the thought process was once Dak went down, if it was significant time and they lost every game with Cooper, where you go, Dak was coming back at 1-5, so like, you know, what chance did he have? We'll give McCarthy another year. But if he comes back and he's, well, he got the stitches out today. So if he comes back in the next couple of weeks and they're sitting at, I don't know, 3-2, 2-3, and then still don't make the playoffs, don't get a wild card, I think Jerry's fucking cooks him.
100%. Rule and Reich, and yeah, look, they, I don't think Reich, Frankie Reich was a little bit, like if they had gotten just smoked by KC, I think there was like a little bit of the, oh shit, he might actually be the first to go. And Matt Rule, we talked about that last week. If Carolina didn't actually fucking put a win on the board, yeah. But I think that's, they probably staved off any execution until what, week 7? I think that's probably when you get a little bit of rope till. So there you go. Anyway, good stuff. Love the, right. Like, it's just so weird though, right? With only 2-3-0 teams and only 1-0-3 team and one other winless team, right? Like
one Houston, in each, one in each, only one left in each conference, right?
Yeah, and Houston are 0-1-1. So they are winless, but they're not 0-2-1, right? So they're not 0-3. So the Raiders are the only 0-3 team, which is crazy to think about. But yeah, it's just going to mean that everyone sort of bought just a little bit more time. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, because everyone's 2-1 or 1-2. So there you go. Good bloke of the week. Bloke, you want to buy a beer this week? Gaz, who you got?
I got Mark Sanchez. Because he's now got the second funniest butt thing to ever happen. After the butt fumble was carried him through his entire career. It was like, even when he was like, when he was at the Eagles, everyone still reminded him of the butt fumble for that whole year that he was there. And now, like, he's just, there's photos of him celebrating after the fucking butt punt this week, going, oh, come on, you let off the hook, mate. So go enjoy yourself.
Kind of lead into my points across the next two segments here, but Jimmy G.
I think there's a theme.
Yeah, Jimmy G, though, he made Dan Orlovsky's life feel pretty good as well, right? So Jimmy G's a good bloke of the week, the bloke that I want to be, buy a beer, because his stepping out of the end zone, it was nowhere near as bad as the Orlovsky.
No. He didn't just run out the back hilarious. Of the end zone.
Like, he just lost his mind and like thought the giant painted stripe was part of the end zone because he's a fucking lunatic. Whereas Jimmy G just sort of went back too far. But, you know, it's a good bloke move by Jimmy G, just to take the focus off Orlovsky for a second. And I also want to thank the Giants and Dallas for being really shit in the second bit of that fourth quarter, because Jimmy needed some new pairs of shoes.
Give
and,
some coins. Yeah.
Old mate, no mates, Orlovsky. Boom, done. Because
fuck.
I feel like the Dan Orlovsky thing of old mate, no mates, he's like, yeah, finally somebody else did. It's like,
freedom.
Motherfucker. Freedom. Yeah. Settle down. Yeah. If nothing else, this just reminds everybody how dumb your fucking one was, and just points out that Jimmy G just only sort of stepped back a little bit under a bit of pressure, whereas you fucking skedaddled for your life and just looked like an absolute fool whilst you were doing it.
Yep.
And so I don't feel like his sort of vibe of, you know, freedom and just like, aha, see? But that's to pull on Orlovsky. It's still called an Orlovsky.
Orlovsky, yeah.
It's not called
a
Jimmy G. Like, it's called, doing,
that's fair.
Pulling a Jimmy G is rooting a porn star. Like, that is substantially cooler
porn star,
than
Jimmy.
Doing an Orlovsky who's afraid to be in a room with another woman. Like, what are we talking about? So, anyway, so Orlovsky's got the old mate, no mates. And, like, the Sanchez thing as well, I kind of want to lean on that, because I kind of don't think that, like, the butt punt is in any way, shape, or like form worse than the Sanchez butt fumble, because Sanchez was like in control of that sort of situation, whereas the punter, like the dude just was falling back and just kadoosh, put a ball in his butthole. Like, but Sanchez like literally just fumbled the ball because he ran into his teammate's ass. Like, what the fuck? So that's way funnier and will always sort of be attributed to Sanchez. Whereas I think
only
one
led directly to points.
True.
Only one was a safety.
The fact that it was a safety is pretty funny. But, like, we probably won't remember the butt punt next year. Like, but we'll always remember Sanchez for the butt fumble.
Yeah, true. All right, for me, I know this is going to go both ways, but Ken Dorsey, OC of the Bills.
I thought it was great.
While it was funny, this is him going, for those who didn't see, this is when the Bills didn't make it to spike the ball, to have a shot at the field goal, and time ran out. He went off his fucking nut in the room. And it's funny because there's clips from like 2 months ago at a press conference where he goes, oh, yeah, I'm a bit of a psycho. And then fast forward to this week and he's in the booth just losing his fucking mind. It is worth it. Yeah, you just go. It'll be on something. Total Pro Sports will have it on their fucking thing. Going off his fucking head. But, like, how do you get guys to control themselves on the field when you're fucking all over the media doing that? Anyway, just the big cunt acts of the week. Well, I don't think we touched on it last week, but Brett Favre. Oof. And really the media for giving it no air this week. He was, like, literally siphoning money away from poor people to fill his own pockets. And there's text messages of him going, oh, do you reckon I'll get caught? What happens if someone asks? Anyway, look it up. He's been suspended for...
$5 million taken from welfare fucking... that was earmarked for low-income families, wasn't it? Yeah, like, yeah. Holy and fucking
it was,
shit.
And then it was also some extra money to build a volleyball stadium at his alma mater when
his
it was supposed to be for...
His daughter's alma mater, right? So,
yeah.
Or his daughter's school, but...
And the other one for me is, I don't blame Tua for this, but how about those Dolphins doctors, right?
Not a concussion.
That is the weirdest concussion. And the shittest explanation since, what was it? Wayne Carey's anti-inflammatories in a fucking casino in Perth.
It's Kaz, fucking... you don't crush up your anti-inflammatories and carry them around in a plastic bag.
So for anyone who missed the story, Tua goes down.
Very clearly is concussed.
Very clearly, like literally tries to stand up and goes like weak at the knees and falls over. They report it as, when he goes down to the rooms, they report it as a head injury, goes down, gets checked out, comes back, they say, nah, he's right, gets released back on the field, still throwing bombs, wins the game. They ask for the explanation. They say, no, it was actually a back injury, which is why he stumbled. Now, I'm an old man who sleeps awkwardly in bed, and I've woken up with a bit of a dodgy back, Jimmy, and it makes me tense and go rigid, not go loose and stumble, right? That is the worst explanation, and now it's led to the NFL, well, the NFLPA has requested the NFL investigate their concussion.
Gaz, Tua's just built different, you know? He's got a head in his back in his head.
Yeah, apparently. Well, it's weird. I don't know. I've meant to look up there. I know once someone does enter the concussion protocol, they have to go through the stages, and the stages include their internal doctors and then the NFL doctors before, and need to be able to show no symptoms before they come back. But there must be a point in a game, if they're really serious about protecting them, that it has to go through, you know, the team. Like in the AFL, we do it, right? Like if there's a third party who believes.
The thing
believe
for me is there's spotters, right? There's spotters in the AFL. There's spotters in the NFL. Like if they see it
so
as well, and they go, right,
they get away with it.
But to be honest, I mean, this is Miami. Are we like even vaguely fucking surprised that this wildly dodgy franchise is doing dodgy shit? The other old mate, no mates, if we want to talk about doctors as well, how about Juzzy Herbs? He's like, oh, yeah, I've got some fucked ribs, fucked rib cartilage. And then there's like that sketchy doctor going, hello. And it's like, oh, fuck, are you the guy who tried to kill Tyrod Taylor? Get the fuck away from me, you psycho.
They did it with a fucking an X, not an X-ray, but say they were kind of X-raying it at the time. So they were actually, unlike the Tyrod doctor who just fucking went in like Dr. Nick. Hi, everybody. This doctor kind of, like, they actually were X-raying him at the time, like almost like an MRI where they kind of guide it in to make sure that they're hitting the right part of the flesh. But Jesus Christ, the guy should be taken. He's your superstar quarterback. Fucking right out of game, mate. Jesus Christ.
I want nothing to do with that Chargers doctor. Just saying.
Jesus.
Ugh. Anyway, what else we got? We've got a...
Unpopular opinions, mate.
Unpopular opinion today. The butt fumble, the butt thing, the butt punt. Like, it's pretty funny, but isn't it weird? Like, it's not. This might not be unpopular, but I just find it weird that it doesn't happen more. Like, the amount of times that we see punts, kicks, all this sort of shit, shouldn't it happen just the odd weird squib kick that just like, you know, if you mistime a field goal, you just like absolutely fucking whale one in one of your special teams mates' fucking buttholes. Like, Jesus. And it's kind of, it's funny, I'll pay it, but it's weird. It should happen more. How is that the only time that we can remember a butt punt?
I get it if you're in your own end zone. Like I do. If you, it literally
in
ended
your
up in the end zone.
Zone.
It ended up in the end zone. sorry. But if you're given a long snapper who is sending it back, you know, 15, 20 yards, I get that it wouldn't happen. It's not Oz kick, mate, for fuck's sake. No, this is no disrespect to the Oz kickers out there. Some of them are going to grow up to be great champions at Geelong.
Love it. In terms of the Australian spotty, I didn't actually have a look at anybody this week.
Nah, so. But there is one that I will post on the fucking... I will post on the NFL Australia one.
Love it.
That, of course, it's my mate. It's my mate, Jordan Mailata.
Love it.
But it was there was an attempt... from an outside, I think it was a blitz from a safety position. He's double teamed the block on the defensive lineman. Someone came around the outside to hit Hurts, and he just turned around and flattened some cunt, and then just gave him a bit of spice afterwards. Love right, it. just leant on top of him and just went, "See you later, sunshine."
Pretty good. All right, Outback Takehouse. Can't be bothered doing the voice. My voice is a bit sore. The Jags, they're winning the AFC South. Just saying.
Fucking love it. Oh, you skipped over this game way too quick.
It was awesome. That was so good.
You gave me a bit of stick about the how big of a quarterback whisperer do you need to be. But one of the things that Dougie has done with adjusting to these guys is being an ex-player himself, and I've watched videos on this today, funnily enough, is taking away part of the field, right? So to get them used to the speed of the game, not having them go, all right, you've got guys who are three times as fast as what you dealt with in college, go through your progressions, actually just going, you know what, I'm going to scheme up routes here so you're only looking at this part of the field, and actually scheming up free runners and helping those guys out as they develop. And I think Dougie P is the perfect fucking dude to do that. Good. And God bless him. I think it's going to be a cracking game in Philly this week.
It's going to be fun. But the vibe was like AFC South, it's kind of like, you know, cool. Tennessee, Indy, just expecting them to be at least competent. And they're not at the moment. So
no.
Just saying the Jags look fucking good. But that Trevor Lawrence, he'll just give you something and go, oh, ooh. Love it.
And then defense is not bad. It's almost like they've had like 15 years worth of fucking top five draft picks.
Well, I mean, to be honest, there were two rookies this year, right, with Floyd and Martin, and they're already playing really well. Captain Fantasy, Gaz takes me down. God damn it.
Way!
All 100% hinged on my starting of the Chargers D.
I know. That was a shame, wasn't it, that the Chargers
they
D
scored
got you like
minus
-4 and 85. And
that's not great.
No.
So when you got a 20-point swing, literally a 20-point swing from Gaz's defense to my defense, that'll leave you a bit cooked.
It'll leave a mark.
But in terms of the rest of the league...
Flipping that over to... Oh, sorry. You go to the rest of the league first.
Well, the rest of the league, I mean, everybody else had a pretty great week. I think, like, talk about, like, team... Like, we're actually just like the NFL, right? There's only one 0-3 team. Everyone else is 2-1. Or 1-2 after this week, which I think is fucking awesome. And that's exactly the same as we went last year in the NFL Australia Legends League. So everybody's involved with that. You all rule and enjoying it. There's some pretty big scores as well, though, this week. I think nowhere to go but up. Dropped 141, which absolutely smashed everybody else. So not bad, good size. You'll pay that. Who's nowhere to go? Oh, that's Zach. Zach, he was a little bit too on the ball for my liking. Fucking good job. Teenagers, they seem like they're pretty on the ball. Previews for next week. Week 4.
Fucking hell. There's one thing that I might bet you in fantasy, Jimmy, but you're fucking smoking your tipping this week. It's almost like you work for a betting site and you having that Murdoch money behind you. It's taking you up another fucking level, mate.
It's almost like it's my job to know what I'm talking about. Miami at Cincinnati. So Gaz has gone through and actually very helpfully listed out all the odds for this week. Oddly enough, he's gone with the underdog in each of them when listing them out.
I did a lot of those fucking...
Well, no, you've actually just told us. You've actually just mentioned what the line is with the underdog. But That also.
Oh yeah, I just started on that, and I just like stayed that. On that. Yeah.
So Miami are actually 3.5-point underdogs on the road against Cincy. I like Cincy, so I just think the get right game. Miami have that inevitable, holy shit, we just beat Buffalo, let down on the road game.
Yep.
And I think Cincy can win this one. 3.5 is a little bit squirrely.
Yeah.
Because you feel like this is the game where it's like, yeah, 23-20. But I think Cincy just get enough clicking now that it ends up like maybe 28-17 or something weird like that. So I'll take Cincy.
Yeah, there's a lot of games in this fucking round that I absolutely fucking hated.
Yep.
And this is one of them because we're at that part of the season where teams are starting to maybe they've had their get right and maybe people have, you know, already played their Super Bowl. Yeah. And that could have been this week, Cincy could have been. So I've gone Miami. That said, you could be 100% right. They could have played the Super Bowl against the Bills last week.
Yep. Minnesota, they go to New Orleans. I've gone Minnesota. You've gone the Saints. 2.5-point underdogs at home, the Saints, which is a tricky one as well, right? Because they didn't give us much against Carolina. They go home. They're playing another NFC team. Minnesota, New Orleans, there's a bit of a storied history there. And I think the Vikings, I mean, last week was a disappointment. This week was nearly a shit show, but they pull it out of their ass. I think this is the exact moment where Minnesota, who I really liked going into the season, I think where they just sort of muscle out a couple of wins that maybe they shouldn't and really get on a bit of a roll. So I like them here. Minus 2.5. Favorite on the road, always a bit weird, especially in New Orleans, but, you know, it's in a dome. Kirk Cousins would be fine. It's not on prime time.
Yeah. I think that's a key factor, right? Look, I think a couple of things that, I don't know. I said about how much I hate New Orleans this year. They've got the pieces. I'm just waiting for. I'm going to be that guy. You know that, you know, when like there's that team who comes is bottom of the league and you just keep betting on them, just waiting for them to have. They've got to have a win eventually, right?
No, I don't.
No. Right? But I'm just waiting. I try to the win pieces money, yes. Yeah, I know. The pieces are there for New Orleans. And there's all of a sudden Minnesota are without Delvin Cook. So I'm just gonna hope this is the week that they click. Because I'm so far behind right now that I might as well fucking
Madison Cook. I don't know. I think this is more
Madison's good. Madison.
This is the thing though, because I mean this is where you need Minnesota's weapons to really step up because you've got that New Orleans defense with what, Lattimore and Co. You're like shit, right? Jefferson, Thielen, KJ Osborne, time to shine.
Yep.
Like
yep.
Prove how good you are. AFC South Showdown, Tennessee at Indy. I've gone with Indy.
Another one I fucking hated.
Yeah, this sucked as well. I didn't like this one at all. Indy, 3-point favorites at home. So Tennessee on the road, underdogs. Both got a win this week. Their first of the season. I think Indy turn around and win this one pretty easily too.
How much do you put on what either team did on last week?
Nothing.
Like,
that's nothing,
the
but
problem.
I think Indy getting that win, the way they did it, and the fact that they're at home again, I think, this is like, we panicked a little bit about Indy starting the season shit. Now they're 2-2, and it didn't matter. So that's
So Frankie's done it the last three seasons. I think, last year they started 3-5, and then they went on a fucking five-game tear or something like that. Anyway, I've just explained why you should pick Indy, and then I picked them Tennessee. Yeah. So I've gone with Tennessee. Look, I think, you know, some of those weapons that they've, you know, we should get Burks in to replace AJ Brown, but judging by what he's doing on my team, keeping AJ Brown might have been a smart move. But look, I think, you know, I don't know. I've gone with Tennessee because I have no justification.
Good job. That's just good picking. The Giants hosting the Bears. The Bears are 3-point underdogs in New York, or New Jersey, as it stands. We've both gone the Giants just because they're not as shit as the Bears, I think.
Because they can put up some points, and I just don't know where they come from with the Bears, and we 100%. Say that every fucking week.
Yeah, the Giants, I mean, there's a couple of weird injury fuck-arounds, but, I mean, they also got, their two rookies sort of back this week, and I don't know, they'll be better next week, you'd figure. Mm-hmm. Coming on a short week, though, you never quite like that, but Giants at home, they should be fine. That's why we're both going. Baltimore, they host Buffalo. Baltimore, 3.5-point underdogs at home. Tricky one again, 3.5, that's a pain in the ass, but we're both landing on Buffalo. This is the bounce back, isn't it?
That's got to be a fucking angry,
especially
revenge,
against that weird, holy Baltimore defense. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much it.
Nice. Chargers, they go to Houston. It's 5.5 points to Houston at home, which is a lot. and I don't like. I might actually change this to Houston because
I got to catch up somehow, Jimmy.
I know. Well, you shouldn't get smashed in week three as badly as you did, Gaz. I know. What, 11 picks? 11 out of... Yeah, that's fucking good. It's one of the better weeks
I've ever had. I've been consistent. I've been 7 every week.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've been 9, 8, and 11.
fuck.
Consistency, man. Yeah, Houston at home, 5.5 is just a little bit too much, isn't it?
Yeah, look, honestly, there's just so something about this Houston team.
They play close games. Five and a half, man. Yeah.
That's it. So I've picked them a couple of times where I've picked them to lose close.
The line was like 2.5 for Houston, Chicago, and Chicago won by what, 3. But Houston just only play close games. That's all they've done all season. And the Chargers are fucked. So let's go
and
Houston.
They're a little bit hobbled, right?
That's
an understatement.
Exactly. I mean, they don't have half their defense, I think, at the moment, or their receivers. It's literally a banged up Juzzy Herbs and like Mike Williams. So. What do we got? Detroit hosting Seattle. I've gone the Lions -6 just because Seattle stink. They just stink. Detroit will be ready and raring to go for this. 6 is a lot because this is a sort of weird game where you're like, did they just win 12-6? Like, how is that even possible? But fine, whatever. We saw 6 field goals called in this game and that was it. But I just like Detroit at home against this very shit Seattle team.
Yeah, look, I do not doubt at all that Seattle are shit. But just Detroit have just got this thing across 2 seasons where they just do something fucky to keep it close. The Heartbreak Kids from last year, mate. That they just have this way of keeping things fucking close. So I reckon I think they'll win. And I hope they win because I want Detroit to put games on the board. But I think it's going to be... I think somehow they work out to make it by 2.5 points.
Yep. Weird. Sure. Pittsburgh, they host the Jets. Zach Wilson might be back for this one. The Jets are 3.5 point underdogs in Pittsburgh. We've both gone the Steelers. I hated this game. The half point fucking kills me because I'm like, I think the Jets lose this by 3. Maybe even win it outright because I just don't know what to make of Pittsburgh.
Well, might be what it could also be the way the Mitch Trubisky train has worked is he comes out and shoots the fucking lights out against the Jets and everyone goes, oh, maybe it wasn't that bad. And then Pittsburgh have the shit kicked out of them the next 3 weeks, right? that's also just as possible as it coming around. And such is until they put Kenny in.
Yep. But it's like the Jets defense isn't that bad, but then they did get worked by Cincy this week, so it's one of those things. But Pittsburgh are not Cincy, but I still think they win it pretty okay. Jacksonville, Philly, it's the Doug Peterson special.
Like this one, mate.
Jacksonville 6.5, and it does feel squirrely, but I think Philly at home, it's just they should be fine.
I was really tempted to actually take Jacksonville in this one, only because of the 6.5. I know we haven't been challenged in the second half. Like we've kept Minnesota and the Commanders to under 10 points, and so the foot's been well and truly been off the gas when you put 24 first half points up. But I just feel I don't know with Dougie's. Anyway, I can't not go with Philly the way. Got to play the hot hand, right?
Yep, they're playing too well. I think Jacksonville will be that one team. But to be honest, it's weird because it's 2 teams where everyone's just like losing their shit. Oh my God, Philly are great. Jacksonville are great. Who does that affect more? Probably Jacksonville would be my guess. Philly kind of like, we're at home. Steady. Just win this game. I do worry about that 6.5, but look, if Philly are actually this good, they should cover. Atlanta hosting Cleveland. And I've gone Atlanta at home +1.5. You've gone Cleveland. Look, I hated this. I don't want to pick Atlanta any game. But 1.5, like this, in my brain, I'm like, I think they might lose by 1. Maybe. But then it's just like, what, Cleveland last week, they win ugly, but they win. Atlanta at home, though, it's going to be raucous. I just hate this game. So this is probably a loss for me, but I'll take Atlanta.
Me too. But and I struggled in the last couple of weeks to pick Cleveland for any justifiable reason. But it, the way they won it last week, it was just, oh, yeah, we've got the chunt. And so they just rode Chubb and Hunt and then, oh, the occasional Jake Brisket. And then all of a sudden, you know, between the chunt and the brisket, we're down the field, right? And that will shorten the game. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm just, I think I trust the their defense more, though Myles Garrett being out.
Was it a car accident? Yeah.
Pretty severe. I haven't seen the photos, but I was literally just before I was logging on here, was apparently it was a pretty angry single car accident in his Porsche.
Yep. It was like rolled the car like three times or something.
Oh, really? Yeah, I haven't read it yet. I only saw the headline.
One of those things where you're like, do they come out angry and like fired up for Miles? Does Miles play? Is he going to be all right? Surely he's probably not going to play, but at the same time, it's the NFL. Fuck. He probably will. Like, who knows? So I was just like, yeah, fuck it, Atlanta. Dallas, they host the Commanders, the C-Words. We've both gone Dallas just because I think we both understand that Washington are inept.
Yeah. I would really prefer that Washington win this game, but I think, as you said, that all Cooper's going to be is that just steadying force, right? And as long as they play to their strengths while Dak's away, there's way too many holes in that Washington team. That secondary is fucking terrible.
Yep. It's also one of those games where, like, yeah, Dallas, they beat the Giants. Can we really, really see them winning, you know, another game at home against another NFC opponent? It's like, yeah, kind of. And I hate it. Yeah. But it's, you know, 3 points for a reason.
I don't want
to. Like, I don't want to, but someone has to win. But I am tempted by the Washington +3 just, you know, because Carson Wentz just might have a random fucking game where he goes, like, apeshit. And you're like, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
But fuck it. I'll trust Dallas. Carolina, Arizona. This is a fun one. Carolina at home against the Cardinals. Cardinals are only 1.5-point underdogs in Carolina. I've gone with the Panthers again. And you've gone Arizona.
Yeah.
That's some good analysis.
I don't know how much to think, because like, I don't want to overthink it, because I fucking have no idea at this point in the season what to think of either of these two teams.
Yeah, I think Carolina I trust a little bit more, but
they've shown their best and their worst. And didn't AJ Green went down as well this week, didn't he? So we've just got a bit of hobbledness and fucking mate.
Yep. That's why I've got, you just keep picking bad teams that you don't want to win. That's fine. Yeah. That's why we pick the games. Like, it's just a weird setup, right? Like Arizona going to Carolina. It's like, it's hard to imagine that you've got the teals and the black on their home field. You've got that white and red. You're like, yeah, that's going to be a game that I watch, like, I don't know, 20 minutes of and go, oh, this is kind of neat. And you realize that, yeah, Carolina win it like 24, like 19 or something strange. You're like, how'd they get 19? Yeah. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give me Carolina. Vegas host Denver. Fucking hell. These games are insane, right? You've gone Denver. I've gone Raiders. Raiders have to get on the board. They're at home. They have to do it against Denver.
One of those, another one where I'm like, I'm just, the bits are there. I'm just waiting for either of the teams to click. Like, this is another one that could go absolutely either way. If I'm forced to put money on something during this week, it's definitely not going to be games like this, because fuck knows.
Exactly. I feel you. I just trust the Raiders just to get that offense going, like, because there's nothing in Denver's offense that's scaring me if I'm the Raiders, you know?
No. So. Yeah, fair enough.
Green Bay going to smash New England. They're 10.5-point underdogs are the Pats in Green Bay. This is the Brian Hoyer show is not going to be good. This is going to be a belting. So we've both gone Green Bay. They're going to fucking destroy the Pats. So
you reckon?
Tough one. Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely smash them.
I've gone with it. 10.5 points. Any time, double digit points in any game scares the shit out of me. But it's hard to argue against, right? Like, I mean, you guys haven't been great with your first round draft pick.
Exactly.
So, I don't know how you'd be without him.
If the offensive line, the offensive line and Mac had been looking better and like the running backs were actually sort of grinding stuff out, but it's just not quite there. So, Green Bay going to kill him. And then we've We're both split, KC, Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay hosting the Chiefs. They're 2.5-point underdogs at home. I've gone with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You've gone with KC. It's a rematch of, what, 2 years ago Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Exciting times. Tampa Bay, love it. Give me some Brady over Mahomes one more time just to go, you know, sink the boot in. I just think their defense is a little bit too good for this KC team at the moment. And yeah, at home, get Mike Evans back. I think they just get a little bit something-something going here, Tampa Bay. And to get 2.5 points, do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, look, I think everything that we said at the beginning of this show about KC drops that game and then goes, oh, yep. And dropping that game to a team where literally the quarterback had been talked about being washed up and the coach about losing his job, and then all of a sudden Andy Reid dropping that. I think, I just think KC come out fiery and I'm not going to say kick the shit out of them because there's too much talent on Tampa Bay, but I think they come out ready to play.
Yeah, I think it gets a little bit too close, and I think, yeah, the Bucks just pull it out. Nice. Well, there you go. After I went, 11-7 last week, 8-7 the week before, 9-7 week one. I'm 28-21 so far this season against Gaz.
Fucking 3 weeks, and it's, you know.
Three weeks under 500 for you guys. It's tough.
Jeez, it's not going good. It's not going good.
Maybe, your apparent approach of just taking teams and then not being able to even talk yourself into them while explaining yourself is not working out. But
well, this
will be the week
season,
it turns. This will be the week.
I'm just really hating this because I was able to convince myself in previous weeks, and then those teams are the ones that haven't fired. So I've given up until they work out. Until they work out what the fuck they want to do, Jimmy. I'm not going to work out what the fuck they want to do.
Love it. This is the week though. You'll flip it on me.
Just flip it.
There's a lot of ones different this week, so you'll just make back like six of them anyway. So, all right, sweet. There you go. That's it. Week 3 NFL Australia Dunskies. We're still weekly. That's what we do. Keep your eye on Eagle Australia with Gaz. We'll have NBA Australia coming back, I think, at some point this week, which would be pretty crazy. Oh boy, gonna just want another thing for me to balance. It's all good. Check us a follow on the old Facey Twitter IGs, all that sort of good gear. Thank us a rating and review on your iPad.
iPad. iTunes. You, you can also do it on your Mac.
On your phone.
You can do it on your phone.
You can do it on your desktop. on your podcast app. I just combined a bunch of words into one bad same word.
Wow.
Anyway, it does help out, so get around it. Big thanks to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Their album Rules. Go check that out. And Smash Codebet. I think I had all my picks up there this week. I actually changed some later in the week and I wasn't as good as I was on NFL Australia. So I should actually just stick fat with what I've got here.
Follow here.
Gaz, what do you want to plug?
Mate, you've already done it for me. I'll fucking rush through Eagles Australia before this. I fucking sat there and put down some thoughts about, the Commies game. I had some things to say, funnily enough. So that'll go out tonight and then probably NFL Australia tomorrow. And then I'll stop talking for the next week. That's a lie. We know that's a lie. This is not going to happen.
The Cats won. The fact that you're not just bouncing off the walls is blowing my mind. So,
mate, you know what? I put a bit, like a month and a half ago, I put on a double. I'm going to say it here. I put on a double for the Eagles Super Bowl Cats Premiership, and it's still fucking alive, isn't it?
Amazing.
It's like 85 or something to one. There you go.
I'm pulling for you, pal. Oh, God. Insufferable if that one hits. Right.
Fucking hell.
That's it. All right, we'll catch you next week, I guess, for a big wrap of week 4.
You will?
Sweet as. All right, catch you in a bit, you dickheads.
See yous.
Later.